Welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast. We are so excited that you have decided to join us today. My name is Andrew McPeak, and with me, as always, is our fearless leader, Tim Elmore. Tim, are you excited about today?
I am
very excited about today. We have an incredible interview that we're going to do with Austin Moss, who is at the NFL. We know the NFL is a huge leader in our culture, in our world, so I can't wait to hear some of his insights. So, Tim, will you take it away?
Thanks, Andrew. Austin, we really are glad that you're with us. It's been great to just kind of kindle a friendship with you over the last few years and just to watch the National Football League at work. We see it as play on Sunday, but you guys work your little fannies off all through the week, and on Sundays you're in front of screens. And so, first of all, let me just say thanks for joining us for a few minutes.
Oh, no problem, Tim. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm glad to be here this morning.
Good. So, Austin, you represent the National Football League, and as Andrew just mentioned, football has become an icon in American sports with millions watching every week. I'd love for you to share specifically what you do and maybe how you got involved in working with the National Football League.
Well, I've always had a passion for sports growing up, you know, playing a variety of different sports, but was definitely keyed in on football and just the game as a whole. You know, I love the teamwork, yeah, the sense of you know, community, and just, you know, Friday night lights in the high school in a high school community was everything for me. So felt that, you know, it was dear to my heart, and fortunately enough, I was somewhat gifted with some athletic ability, so I was able to play at the next level in college and played as a student athlete at the University of Kentucky. And you know, when I was finishing my career there, I always knew I wanted to stay connected to the game in some aspect. So I started to look for different opportunities to work in sport and stay involved with the game, and was fortunate to come across a graduate program that allowed you to receive a master's in sport business management as well as your MBA. And that was at the University of Central Florida and the DeVos School of Sport Business Management. So I went and studied there after undergrad and was able to earn those degrees. And then eventually, about a year and a half after that, landed an internship opportunity at the NFL League office in player engagement, and have been here ever since.
That's awesome. So you must have done a good job as an intern, so, because they kept you. That's awesome.
So yes.
What's your position right now?
So right now I am a manager in player engagement for the NFL, which is essentially player development.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Which is why we got connected with you in the first place. Our hearts are so alike in wanting to develop people. Austin, I remember when I visited you, we spent some time together, and I feel like I received a clinic on all the work that goes into hosting games every week. If you remember, you gave us the 50-cent tour, we saw Super Bowl rings, and you showed us the room with the screens that I guess I knew it happened, but I got a clinic on how much these players were employees that were working for the league, and you were working with young professionals. Some of them have just begun a career, and some for the first time got a paycheck for, you know, and they're trying to figure out how to be men, not students necessarily. Would you, I'd love for you to just go into a bit of the details on how you guard the reputation and the behavior of those employees and the league every Sunday. Just go into some of those things that you pulled back the curtain and showed me when we got the tour there.
Yeah. You know, ever since I've been employed here, I've always been, you know, thankful for, you know, just the opportunity to see so much of the landscape that the NFL has when it comes to professional sports. And, you know, we are a $9 billion industry, and there's just a lot of different things that go into what you see on Sunday and leading up to the Super Bowl every year. So, yeah. Everything from, you know, sponsorship to the players to tickets, yeah, marketing. There's so many different segments that reside within the NFL, and, you know, we all kind of collectively work together to produce, you know, what you see day in and day out. So from the standpoint of just, you know, the employees and the different facets of it, there's obviously our players who, you know, even though they're playing a child's game and with something we've all grown to love, you know, they still are employees at the end, yeah, of the day. So there's a lot of principles and values and systems in place to help them, you know, as they go through their NFL experience. And really, the goal is to position them for success both on and off the field.
Yeah.
So when it comes to our personal conduct policy, you know, there's things that they need to adhere to, you know, continue to play the game. When it comes to just leadership and culture, you know, the different values that Commissioner has done a phenomenal job in really implementing across the board, not just to the employees here at the league office, but to all 32 clubs, the owners, and really making it a trickle-down effect. So, you know, some of those values and principles that Commissioner speaks on all the time are, you know, integrity. He always looks to make the right call, whether it's on and off the field. He talks a lot about resiliency and just understanding that we set high standards and we continuously strive for excellence in all that we do. And then there's also the conversation about respect, and that your teammates matter, that person that's cleaning up the field, the grounds crew, everybody contributes to our game in some aspect. Yeah. And he always talks about respecting those and respecting the game. And then he talks about responsibility to team. You know, as a team, we have to support one another. You know, the 32 different teams, everybody within those buildings, they support each other. And then here at the league office, you know, we always support one another. And we work hand in hand, you know, player engagement, football operations, there's events and marketing, you know, a lot of different aspects of our game that we all collaborate with one another and try to put out as much consistency and clarity when it comes to our game and executing on a high level at all times.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I remember when I was with you, you took us in that one room where I think there were like four screens for every single game that's played on a Sunday. Am I right about that? Were there four screens?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And you're watching, and you mentioned to me you have to be so tight on the level of excellence that sometimes a player might get fined that a referee didn't even call a foul on. It wasn't a play on the game. It was something that was wrong about the look or something he did that you said that doesn't represent who we are. Do you mind just commenting on that? Because I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. That somebody could be fined for something that he wasn't even called on a foul.
Yeah, and again, as you alluded to earlier, it's just about the reputation of our league and trying to obtain as much clarity and consistency and credibility in all that we do. So we have evaluators for each game, game day technicians, and the officials, for one, are being evaluated. When you think about, you know, the number of games that are played each week, it's usually between 15 or 16. And then the officiating crews have about eight to 10 guys on them, including the people up in the booth. So when you multiply those numbers and you think about all the different, you know, human elements that touch the game, we just have to make sure we're always, you know, being consistent in our processes and the way we evaluate our officials and the way we evaluate our players, and making sure they're, again, upholding the, you know, values of the game and keeping the NFL at the forefront as far as putting out, you know, a great product week in and week out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, like any organization, you might have a whole bunch of great, quote-unquote, employees that are just doing it right and so forth, but then there's that one bad apple, and everybody forms their opinion on that one bad apple. You know, the one guy that, you know, didn't do the right thing on Friday or whatever at the water cooler or whatever. So I want you to talk about your role. You play a key role as the NFL works to add value to communities and around the country. So often, the only message the public gets from the media is that pro athletes are abusers or druggies, or we hear about the league's story about concussions and so forth, performance-enhancing drugs. How is the NFL working to maybe rebrand that one bad apple reputation? Talk about some of the things you're doing. I don't think most people know, perhaps, what you're doing with high school coaches and just great stuff around the communities across the U.S.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that oftentimes the headlines that sell papers are often the negative ones.
Yeah.
But You know, we know that the NFL is just like every other industry and company within the world, and we are victim to those societal issues just like everyone else is. You know, there's financial industries where their employees, you know, have been arrested for DUI or maybe domestic violence or some, you know, type of issues. And, well, you know, we're aware of that. It's just that, you know, we have a greater spotlight on us. So in that sense, we're trying to continuously educate our employees on, you know, different ways and resources that are available to them in case they have issues when it comes to that. And then also just being proactive and really putting in place a lot of different programs, educational opportunities for guys to learn. And, you know, they span in the range. We offer our domestic violence and sexual assault education now at the beginning of every season. And not only do the players get exposed to this information, but the coaches, the entire front office staff, and overall employees for all 32 clubs. So, you know, we send experts and advisors out in that space to educate and equip those people. And then we also have development programs for our players in the off season, whether that's career development, personal development. They span from internships, job shadows, to our finance boot camp or broadcast boot camp, and just different opportunities that exist for them to kind of figure out, you know, what they want to do when their NFL experience is over, and try to equip them with some skills and tools to really build that resume and give them some working experience in the off season.
That's absolutely vital, obviously, because for some of these guys, they've been so good at football, that's all they've known. I remember years ago talking to a former head coach of a D1 program, and he said, I just got a call from a player that got drafted. He just got paid for the first time in the NFL. And he said, Coach, I don't know how to cash a check. You know, I've never done this before. And, you know, bless his heart, he just never had been equipped up to that point to do that. So you play a vital role in helping them have that second career, I know, after they're done playing and they have to start working. And it's just, it's a new day. So, Austin, every day you see the power of culture. There is a culture at the NFL, just like, as you mentioned, every company has a culture, both inside your offices in New York City and the impact it has on our nation. Would you just take a minute and talk about the paramount role that organizational culture plays on people and behavior?
Yeah, I mean, I believe organizational culture is critical to running a successful business, regardless of what industry you're in. I think it starts at the top, and it trickles down through everyone else. So, you know, whoever that leader is in place, you know, when they outline the company's values and they talk about, you know, the principles that are in place and the goals of the company, having a clearly communicated plan and vision, I think those are some of the just key principles that have to exist when establishing a healthy organizational culture.
Absolutely.
You know, I think, again, here at the NFL, you know, from, you know, Commissioner Goodell to Troy Vincent to Jeff Pasch and Eric Rubin, we all have some very phenomenal leaders in place that do a great job of operating their portion of the business and maintaining that culture that we want to keep here at the NFL. So, again, when you talk about excellence, you know, that's what they preach on a continual basis, you know, that we're here to serve our players, serve our fans, and do it with excellence every single day. So when you know that that's the standard coming from the top, you know, you're always inspired and motivated to come and do your very best. And then they do a very good job of, you know, supporting you to do your best and acknowledging those that are performing at a high level. So, again, when it comes to culture, it's just like it says, as iron sharpens iron, you know, so one man sharpens another. So we have a structure here at the NFL and where, you know, that person next to you is here to help you become better and elevate you to really produce phenomenal work on a consistent basis.
I love it. That's great. And I feel like I saw that when I was with you. I was just so impressed with the level that you hold yourselves to. This is more of a personal question, and as we kind of draw this to a close, I want to ask you more of a personal question. You're a relatively young professional yourself. What's the greatest discovery you've made as a professional working within the world of athletics? And any big discovery, like an epiphany, or, oh my gosh, I didn't know that would happen, or maybe it was just confirmed what you already knew and that you want to build toward?
Yeah. I would say probably when it comes to the greatest discovery, I think it's been that, you know, that same commitment and passion that it took for me to perform at a high level as an athlete on the field, just really realizing that it takes that same amount of effort to commit and produce at a high level, you know, within the business setting. So, you know, everybody talks about, oh, you know, I have great work ethic, you know, I'm a hard worker, et cetera. But like, you know, really breaking that down and what does that mean when it comes to your role within, you know, your department, the organization, et cetera, you know, what can you do to, you know, refine your processes and make things more efficient in your daily operations? You know, what new ideas can you bring to the table that maybe haven't been brought before? You know, how can you do that extra research of reading? You know, it used to be extra, you know, reps in the weight room or watching more film, but now it's, you know, transitioned into, okay, you know, what article can I read or what other information can I find? What data can I gain to make a better and more informed decision? So those are the type of, you know, parallels that exist when it comes to, you know, being an athlete, but now being a working professional. But again, it's just, it's the same mindset and mentality. The focus just changes, you know, on the process of doing it. But I found that, you know, that's been the greatest discovery overall, and that, you know, you have to put in the time and the work to really become a master in your field and in what you do.
Yeah. It reminds me of Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours thing, you know, where you got to give 10,000 hours before you can call yourself an expert. And that just means way more time than any of us generally think it's going to require to do something well. And I got to tell you, I was so impressed just coming up again and hearing not only about the NFL ambassadors, that team of former players that you put together and equipped to go back to, I think it was the 65-feeder universities that feed, you know, the NFL great students, student athletes, but then the high school coaches that JT and Tyler have gotten to join you and just pour into the high school coaches around the country. I think the average person in America doesn't realize how much you're trying to put good fingerprints on so much more than just guys that play the game from 22 to 30 years old or whatever. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but I just was so impressed.
No, definitely. And I think it evolves back to our peer-to-peer model, just understanding that, you know, from the NFL, we can only say so much, but when it's those guys that have competed at the highest level and been through the situations that many of either our student athletes or our current coaches are in now, for them to be able to come back and share those experiences, the lessons learned, and, you know, how they were able to attain success within that position, the value in that is just incredible. So, you know, when I can call a Hall of Famer like Aeneas Williams and say, hey, you know, I know you're from the Louisiana area, you know, and you resonate with that community, would you mind going to speak to this group of high school coaches at the New Orleans Saints facility? Or, you know, would you mind visiting LSU, who is, you know, obviously a football powerhouse, and talking to the student athlete, the football team there, you know, just about, you know, leadership. And it doesn't even have to be about the X's and O's. It's about life skills, things that he's learned and picked up across the way. That he can impart some wisdom on that audience. So I think it's a really cool opportunity to, one, give back to those men that made our game what it is today and empower them to share their stories. But again, also expose, you know, either students, coaches, administrators, et cetera, to those athletes that have performed at a high level, done things the right way on and off the field, and just kind of give some different perspective.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I was just a couple weeks ago with Kyle Stark. He's the assistant general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and their mantra down there is changing the world through baseball. And in many ways, that's what you guys are trying to do. This is way more than just a ball on a field for an hour on Sunday. This is changing the world through all the stuff we're doing in the communities. And I guess I just want to say I applaud that, and I love the fact that it's way more than Sunday. So that's cool. Austin, I'm very excited because you plan on joining us this June 23 and 24, in Atlanta, Georgia, for our National Leadership Forum. We're going to have you up on the main stage and then doing some breakouts talking about the culture. Would you just whet the appetites of those who might consider attending our National Leadership Forum in June on what you're going to talk about there?
You know, I think the National Leadership Forum is an awesome opportunity for educators from all over the country to come together, network, and just have a really unique professional development experience. I know from my perspective, I know I'm going to bring just a lot of the daily practices and strategies from the NFL perspective and what we try to do to establish a healthy culture and maintain. But I think it's unique in that I've been able to go to several of our 32 clubs and really evaluate and analyze the culture within each club. So, you know, I've been able to take some things and say, okay, this, you know, not to name anybody, but, you know, some clubs do things, you know, in a very, very good way. And some things, some clubs do things not so well. Yeah. And, you know, it translates to wins and losses on the field. So being able to have that perspective and share really the best practices that I've seen across the league, and also, you know, hear from you all and just have a good conversation about, you know, things we can do moving forward to really innovate and be creative when it comes to growing our leaders, building better people, creating better teams, healthier environments, and really just elevating the game and the people that we touch on a consistent basis.
Great. Austin, thank you so much for carving out some time to talk to us on this podcast. And I'm very much looking forward to hanging out with you a little bit. June 23 and 24 in Atlanta, Georgia, at the National Leadership Forum. It is going to be a rich time together as we talk about culture. So, Austin, thank you.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you in June.
Excellent.
Tim, Austin, thank you so much for an incredible conversation. If you're listening out there and thinking, this guy, Austin, is somebody that I need to spend time with, I need to learn more from, and it's so true when it comes to organizational culture, good organizational culture works in every single industry. We want you to be a part of those conversations coming up this June at the National Leadership Forum. If you're interested in joining us there, you can find out all the information you could possibly want to find at growingleaders.com. We can't wait to see you there, and we hope that you'll join us next time on our podcast. Thanks.